Good to see each one of you here today, and to know that we have honored guests with us. We're delighted that you've chosen to be with us, and we want you to know that you're always welcome. Every time we meet, if you have the opportunity, please come and meet with us again. But today, we're delighted that you're here. A few years ago, I kept hearing predictions about the world going to end. And it was going to end 2012. Well, we know that didn't happen. A speculation based upon an oddity. In an ancient Mayan calendar, this created quite a stir because that calendar was an extraordinary accurate dating tool which these people used to predict the schedule of the years over 2,000 years in advance. But it abruptly ceased keeping count of the years in the year 2012. Many seized on this prediction that it would be the end of the world. There was even a movie called 2012, which featured major cities being crushed by a variety of natural disasters. A giant rush of waves was going over the Himalayas. And at the bottom of the poster advertising the movie was a headline, "We Were Warned." Then there was the prediction by Harold Camping that Jesus would return on May 21st, 2011. And a number of religious groups began to advertise this on various billboards and bus stop benches, traveling caravans of RVs, radio broadcasts and websites, as well as pamphlets were passed out on the street corners. And the message began in Bridgeport, Connecticut, all the way to Little Rock, Arkansas. And teams of mission groups were traveling throughout Latin America and Africa, and they were spreading this news. Then on New Year's Eve, thousands of blackbirds rained down on a small town in Arkansas. This was just the first in a series of mass animal deaths that started less than 2 weeks after the total lunar eclipse. 100 more birds descended on Louisiana, Tennessee, and Kentucky. And scores of crow-like birds croaking in Sweden. Add to that 100,000 fish that washed ashore in Arkansas. And you had the makings of a doomsday scenario. Well, Robert Vinso, a head of a California-based company that specializes in fallout shelters, said, "Some people think it's biblical and apocalyptic, but it could be," he said. But of course, this man had a vested interest in this prophecy because since the birds fell out of the sky, applications for his fallout shelters increased eightfold. Now then, I want to add my prediction to this, to these predictions. And I predict that the world's going to come to an end. And we were warned. When Jesus comes again, it's going to be over. Everything's going to be over. So I predict to you this morning that Jesus Christ is going to come again. Mark 13, verse 32 says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father." And when the end of the world comes and Jesus returns, it won't be do anybody any good to buy a fallout shelter. And so the end of the world will be a scary time for those who don't belong to Jesus. Many will come face to face with the judge of all mankind, and they will not like that confrontation. They'll not be able to hide. Now, by contrast, for those who are Christians, those who have rendered obedience to His will, Jesus' return is going to be an exciting time. It's going to be something to look forward to with anticipation. Paul told Timothy, and he declared, "Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, And not to me only, but to all those who have longed or love His appearing. Philippians, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He also told the brethren at Philippi in Philippians 3 and verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly await a Savior from there. From where? From heaven. Well, we ask the question, why should we long for the appearing of Jesus? Why should we eagerly await the coming down from heaven, this Savior of ours, to take us to be with Him? Well, first of all, I'm going to live in a new home. I have counted this up since back when I got married years ago. I can't remember when it was. Anyhow, back years ago. I think I've moved about 11 or 12 times and lived in different houses. And they've all been different. And in our scripture reading today, it says Jesus has gone away to prepare a place for us. And when He comes, He's going to take us with Him, and there we'll be forevermore. And so that new home that I'm going to get, that's what's exciting to me. I probably have never seen anything like it's going to be. In Revelation 21, verse 4, it tells us when Jesus returns, He'll wipe away all the tears from our eyes. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, or crying, or pain, for the older order of things have passed away. One preacher said that heaven will be a place of no mores. No more curse, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more night, no more hunger or thirst. When Jesus comes again, He's coming to take away the things that make our lives uncomfortable. Now, I don't know about you, but the last several days, it's been real cold. I have been uncomfortable. I don't know about you, whether you like cold weather or warm weather, but anyhow, I've been uncomfortable. Sometimes our health can make us feel lousy if our health is failing or something is malfunctioning. And opportunities that have come our way and we've missed them, sometimes that makes us feel uncomfortable. And sometimes we have confronting people, or people confronting us, makes us uncomfortable, makes us nervous. And there are all kinds of things that make us uncomfortable. He's come to take all those away, and the things that we struggle with that make us miserable. Some people struggle with their finances. Some of us deal with skeptics. Some of us have to deal with family members that make us struggle and providing for our family. So the struggling will be over. The dead will rise from the grave and will live with Jesus forever. Now, not everyone believes that. Not everyone believes that. When you talk to people about coming back, Jesus coming back and going to give us a new home, take us to be with Him, not everyone believes that. The famous playwright and atheist, George Bernard Shaw, didn't believe that. This is what he said, and I quote, "Heaven is a place so insane, so dull, so useless, so miserable, that nobody has ever ventured to describe a whole day in heaven, though plenty of people have described a day at the seashore." Well, for an imaginative playwright as Shaw was, his view of heaven is lame and uninspired compared to how the Christians, early Christians, saw it. Those Christians lived in anticipation of Jesus' return. And in the Roman catacombs, where the bodies of many martyred Christians were buried, there were inscriptions such as this, and I quote, "In Christ, Alexander is not dead but lives, one who lives with God. He was taken up to the eternal home." One historian writes, "Pictures on the catacomb walls beneath Rome portray heaven with beautiful landscapes, children playing, people feasting at banquets." Ralph Waldo Emerson was approached by a very frightened man And he was afraid because he said, I'm told the world's coming to an end. And Emerson said, well, never mind, we can get along without it. Never mind. And we'll be able to get along without the old earth, because when Jesus comes again, we're going to have a new world to live in of no mores. A world filled with excitement and pleasure. And when we get to our new home, like I have 11 times, I've gone to a new home. And say to the various members, come look at this, come and look at that, look at this. Well, you won't believe this. Well, in our new home, it's going to be something so spectacular that we're going to be amazed. I don't know what kind of language we're going to use, how we're going to communicate, don't know that. Whether we're going to be, I'm talking about Chinese and the Vietnamese and the Spanish and people who speak another language. Are we all going to speak English? I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. How am I going to rejoice with those people and tell them about my new home and say, have you seen this? Have you seen that? You need to come look at this. It's going to be a wonderful time. Matter of fact, I don't have the words to explain it this morning of what it's going to be like, that new home that he's going to give us. Not only that, but I'm going to live in this new world, but I'm going to get a new body as I live in this new world. Our bodies are a marvelous creation of God. Bob Hope once said, today my heart beat 103,369 times. My blood traveled 168 million miles. I breathed 23,400 times. I inhaled 438 cubic feet of air. I ate 3 pounds of food, drank 2.9 pounds of liquid. I perspired 1.43 pints. I gave off 85.3 degrees of heat. I generated 450 tons of energy. I spoke 4,800 words. I moved 750 major muscles. My nails grew 0.01714 inches. And I exercised 7 million brain cells. Man, am I tired. I am tired. Your body is a marvel. It's a marvel of God's creation. One man once observed that the body is so intricate that it's a wonder more doesn't happen to it than does. We've got great bodies as bodies go. But one day we're going to get a chance to trade in this old body for a new one. The Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, dear friends, now we're children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That's in 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Paul said in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there. From where? From heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. When Jesus comes, we shall be like Him. Our bodies will be just like His. Do you remember what the Bible says about Jesus' body was like after He rose from the grave? It was perfect. It was indestructible. Jesus had no more pain from the wounds that had been inflicted upon him on the cross. He could eat, but he was not hungry. He could drink, but he was not thirsty. He could walk through walls and fly up to heaven. I could live with that. I could live with that. Well, it's probably like a comfortable enough car. I kind of like the car that I drive, but if I it functions very well. But if a man told me, he said, I've got this new vehicle, and it's a brand new car, fresh off the assembly line, it gets 100 miles to the gallon, it has heated seats, power, it's got all kinds of whistle bells and whistles, it'll just make the model and color that you want, and that's the way we've made it, and all you have to do is just trade in your old car for the new one. I'd do it. And so in the same way, Jesus comes and He offers me a new body. A new body. Now, underneath these clothes I've got on is an old body that's got scars, and I've been cut open a couple of times for surgeries, I'm just going to tell you, it ain't pretty. But you know what? I'm going to get a new body. And it's going to be fantastic. I wouldn't think twice about trading in this old body for a new body. So when Jesus comes, I'm going to be excited because I'm going to get a new body. I'm going to live on a new earth. And I'm going to have everything that I could possibly want or need. And all that I have pales into insignificance when I realize what's going to happen when Jesus returns. He's coming back for me. As a Christian, you ought to say that to yourself. He's coming back for me. For me. Can you just say that to yourself right now? Just say it to yourself. You ever talk to yourself? Well, do that right now. Just say, He's coming back for me. Isn't that wonderful? And He's going to give me a new body and give me a new home. That it's going to be fantastic. I can't even describe it. He's coming back for you. He wants to take you to be where He is. He wants you and me to be with Him. And that is marvelous. That's something to get excited about. That He's coming back for me. And He's going to give me, when I see that new home, and the thing about it, He's going to give it to me. He's going to give it to me. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, smile about that. Good night. Come on, just smile about it. Doesn't that make you happy? He's going to give it to me. The new body, the new home, and He's going to give it to me. Well, do you realize how powerful that thought is? William Paul Jones tells of a woman who told of her childhood as a victim of polio. She said, "When my mother left me in the Sunday school class, I always wanted to wear her little locket that she had around her neck. She thought I liked the locket, but that wasn't it at all. I knew I wasn't worth coming back for, but I knew she would come back for her locket." Now there are times when we might feel like we're not worth Him coming back for me. Look at me. What have I done? What have I done to deserve all this? A new body and a new home, all that given to me. What have I done? I'm not worthy of that. What have I done? There are times when we don't think we're worth very much at all. Sometimes we're inclined to believe that God doesn't love us that much. But He does love us. As I've said on our Wednesday night class, God loves you as much as He ever has and He ever will. Right now, at this moment. Right now, today. He does. But Jesus told you, you're so important to Him that He's coming back for you. Now then, you can talk about all the other things, but this is the most important thing to discuss. He's prepared a place for you, just for you. And I'd like for you to think about that sometime today. Really just ponder on it. Think about it this week. As we look for His coming. When your body begins to ache. When there are things that aggravate you and upset you. We're going to be in a new world. A new home. A new body. He's going to give it to us. We're going to be out of all this misery. See, when we die, that's the graduation exercise. We've graduated. And now we get the crown. Other world religions don't talk much about their God coming back for them. The only way they believe that they're going to get to heaven is they claw their way there. If they've lived good enough, they might just make it past the gate or into the gate. But the very idea that God's going to come back for you, they don't deserve it. They don't even think about that. So just how do I sign up for this new home, for this new body, for this new relationship? Well, Jesus says, you know the way. That's part of Scripture. You know the way. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way to get to heaven. There's no other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. If Jesus went to prepare a place for those who belong to Him, then I want to know how I can belong to Him. How can you and I make sure that we're with Him and we can honestly say He's coming back for me? He's coming back for me. How can we do that? So in order to belong to Jesus, we got to identify Him. We need to believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that with all of your heart? Are you willing to turn from your sin? Die to self-rule and self-will. And as a believer, confess what you believe about the deity of Christ. He is the Son of God. I'm willing to confess that. And I'm going to die to self-rule and self-will. And I'm going to submit myself to baptism. I'm going to be buried with my Lord by baptism into death. That's where Jesus shed His blood, was in His death. That's where I contact the blood. That's where God applies the merits of the blood to my sin-sick soul and makes me pure and clean and forgiven and heaven-bound with the promise, I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back for you. And so, would you like to have that today? Paul says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. To show that you love God, He loved you, now you love Him back. By responding in obedience to His will. George Shaw scoffed about heaven, saying, nobody's ever ventured to describe a whole day in heaven, though plenty of people have described a day at the seashore. Well, yeah. I've been to the sea. I've been to the Gulf. I've been to the ocean. I've been to the mountains. I've been to Hawaii. I've been to Australia. I've been to Alaska. I've been to the Caribbean. I can describe some of those places. But I've never been to heaven. I can't describe one day. All I can do is tell you what God's Word says and anticipate that. That's all I can tell you. I can't tell you because I've never been there. Can you? And it won't matter whether I can describe what heaven is like. It won't matter if I can't describe what the new body is like because I told you earlier, I don't have the words. I don't have words to describe it. All I know is it's going to be a new body, a new home, a new relationship. And He's coming back for me. That's all I can tell you. I can't describe a day I've never been there. All that's going to matter when that day comes is that I'll be with Jesus. I'll be with Him. That's what's going to matter. And so today, can you close out this hour with the assurance and say, He's coming back for me. He's going to give me all of that. Can you say that? Would you like to be able to say it if you can't? Would you like to be able to say it? Wouldn't that make a smile come on your face? Wouldn't that put some pep in your step and some unction in your gumption? Wouldn't that do that? Wouldn't that put something in your handshake? Wouldn't that put a smile on your face? Wouldn't that put a prayer on your lips? Wouldn't that do that? Why not today? Why not make sure suddenly you can say, He's coming back for me. Make sure that you become a child of the King. That you render obedience to Him. That you become His child. And He'll come back for you. Today, knowing what you know, I wonder why you would wait any longer. Why? If you're sitting in the middle of the pew, just tell the people, say, excuse me. I'm going to Jesus. I'm going to obey the gospel today. Just say, excuse me. They will. We're going to prayerfully stand and sing this song in a minute. Maybe you've already done that and something has come between you and the relationship. You want to make absolutely sure that everything is right. Maybe you can do it standing right there. Maybe you need to come and confess sin that's been openly committed. Ask for the prayers of the church. Maybe some things you're dealing with, you need the prayers of the family. In whatever way you need to respond to the Lord's invitation today, won't you come? Won't you consider it right now? He bids you come. He said, will you come? Then he waits to see what you'll do. I'll meet you down front as we stand and sing.